cool with the hair all nicely done. Let's give him a... So good to see. We missed you for a few weeks. And Susanna is here as well. Hey! So good to see you. Recovering. So keep praying for Susanna for full recovery. David, and obviously Kinley and others. I want to share with you something that I was preparing for something else yesterday and day before, until like Friday, until very late night, and Saturday I, you know, sort of had to change. I want to talk about how many know that, you know, Day of Atonement is just a few days away. Are you sort of thinking of Yom Kippur, what you call Yom Kippur, or that's called Day of Atonement. It's in the Jewish year of, you know what, 5779. That starts from 18th of September to 19th September, Tuesday evening, sundown, to Wednesday evening, sundown. That's a Jewish, it's the highest day. It's the most holy day in Jewish calendar. And it's normally followed by what they call 10 days of awe. What they do is Rosh Hashanah, which was about a week ago, they have a blowing the trumpet. You know, sometimes we have a blowing here. You blow the trumpet, signaling New Year. Following that, what they call 10 days of awe is that in the awe of God, that they will be going through a time of repentance. Repentance, soul searching, making amends, and seeking forgiveness for all those that you have offended, as well as those that you are offended with. Putting things right in our relationship with the people of the community of faith, but also going a little deeper in terms of soul searching and going through the time of repentance. It's not just the one quick one, it's actually 10 whole days. And that it culminates on a day of atonement, which is the 10th day. And then what they do is that Bible says they gotta afflict their souls. Afflict it. How many want to afflict your soul? How do they afflict their soul? Do you know sure way of afflicting your soul? Fasting. Fasting certainly afflict my soul. Fasting afflict your soul, right? So that's what they do. Go through 10 days of introspective examination on the base of the Word of God and think about the words that they have said and done, and also where they are at spiritually in their relationship with the Lord. And then it culminates in the last day where all the Jews are required to fast one day, and they afflict their soul. What they do is, what it means is not just, I gotta pain myself, but what it does is they humble themselves before the Lord. You know, when you actually stop eating, all the energy runs out. It's quite humbling, right? You begin to smell bad, you know, breath smells, and, you know, thought that you could do things with a little bit of food that you took, the energy, fleshly energy. You think you can, you know, do your thing and get your way, and then you suddenly realize we are very weak. We are in need of great mercy. So that is the Word of God. You know, when you look at Leviticus 16, verse 14, 29 to 34, it really talks about that what God intended there is to take day or period of 10 days culminating in the last day to humble ourselves. And God's purpose for this day, the highest of God's purpose, it actually culminates not in people just afflicting their soul and repenting, but it actually takes place in a holy place, the most holy place, with priests. The high priest makes atonement for the sins of the people of Israel for 1 year. Okay, that's what they do. They get bulls, and then they slaughter the bull and offer it up, and that is for the high priest. Why? Because high priest is a sinner. He has to have his sin atoned before he can approach God and atone the sin of Israel. And they have to also cleanse the holy place, and the sanctuary, and the altars. And then make atonement for the sins of the people. And you can read all about that in Leviticus 16. So that's God's purpose and plan. You think it's the word of God. There is a lot of wisdom in everything that God does in the Old Testament. You think it's a good idea that God set this and set that as a pattern for the people of Israel? So, yes, it's very quiet. In the calendar year, God has built it into the people of Israel to examine their life and to think about how to deal with sin. And in fact, provide in a very partial way to deal with the sin. So how many are fasting on Tuesday to Wednesday? Do you have to? Do you need to? Let me turn to, because we are learning and we want to be friends of Israel. I think we need to have a good balance. Turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. We need to be careful, though, while we appreciate wisdom of what God had done, that we don't go too far in such a way that we put ourselves under the law of Moses, right? And verse 16, he says, Paul says, let no one judge you, don't allow anybody, Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, don't allow anybody to be your judge. No one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath. That really all talks about the law of Moses regarding the dietary law, festival that has a prophetic significance as well as prepares people, drink, food, Sabbath, festivals and things like that. He says, don't let anybody judge you, which are shadow of the things to come. Let's read together. What does it say? But the substance is of Christ. Can we say that together? Substance is of Christ. Don't let anybody make you feel you're second rate, or don't feel you are first rate when you fast on Tuesday from sundown to the Wednesday, because you understand all these things. You know, year 5779 means it's like a two eyes, and you know, the prophetic and hearing and creation and wealth transfer. It's all good stuff, the prophetic stuff, and there's a lot of prophetic calendar, and the things that God did is a meaning. It all points to Christ. And when we understand all these deep things of God and the laws and the festivals, and you do it as well, you attend, you know, don't make that feel that's what's completing you as a Christian, because it doesn't. And when somebody else doesn't do what you're doing, don't judge them, thinking, oh, don't get puffed up by these things. And when you don't do it, don't let somebody else saying you are not complete because you're not doing these things. See, it's a high revelation thing if you understand the Jewish law and the festival. Don't let anybody take you captive. Don't get into these things. Why? Because all of these things are shadow. Old Testament law contains the mind of God. It's got prophetic revelations in it. But it all is a shadow in the things that they did. It all points to Christ, and the substance is in Christ. We are complete because of Christ. Now, then, will I fast? I think I will. I think I will. I will seek God. It's always good to seek God. In fact, it's always good any time of the year to reflect and to make amends, to humble ourselves before God, especially in the head of the year, in the beginning of the year. In fact, I feel quite excited about this turning of the leaf. It's a Jewish nation had come into existence exactly 70 years ago. That 70 year has been fulfilled. And I feel it's very, very exciting. God does do things in certain patterns. So when you see the pattern, I can't go into all the prophetic significance, you know. There is still a prophetic significance of the Day of Atonement. When you look at Book of Revelation, it will be fully, fully, fully fulfilled. But in Christ, Christ has fulfilled it already for us. And that's what we need to know. And that's what we need to do. Turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. As we move into this season of acceleration, I do believe we are standing in a season of time where things, it's like a fork, you know, a lot of choices, a lot of things in the world scene will be moving very fast, and it is very, very important that we have clean heart, pure hands, or pure heart, clean hands and pure heart, pure hands and clean heart, it's okay as well. But it is very important that we do reflect, introspect our hearts, and make sure that we are good with God, our hearts. There's no overriding things that hold us back. We want to deal with certain aspects of our life, our hearts, our attitude. This is a prayer of David, a man of God, and he talks about this revelation about the Word of God, revelation that God, that nature speaks, and then he talks about the unspeakable, powerful, unchangeable revelation of the Word of God, special revelation of the Word. The whole chapter is about the revelation of God to humankind. But at the end, this is how he closes chapter 19, verse 12, 13, 14. He says, who can understand his errors? Do you understand your error? Do I understand my error? Who can understand his errors? And this is his prayer. Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless. I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is a prayer of David saying, you know what, David, I'm going to come to this, you know. David understood. David was made righteous by God, even though he was a great sinner. He was also a great saint. Hallelujah. And David talks about this revelation. He had such abundance of revelation of God. And he says, who can understand his errors? There's a thing called presumptuous sins lurking, hidden in us, unaware, that we are unaware, but it's very, very visible before God. He says, I want to get to those things. I don't want any of the presumptuous sins that I am not aware of, hidden sins, prideful attitude, have dominion over my life. God, break me free from that. Let them have no dominion over me. Then I'll be free from great transgression. And then he says, Lord, let the meditation of my heart meditation, my prayers, my thoughts towards you, let there be nothing that blocks my relationship between you and me, O God. That is my prayer. And repentance plays great role even after we get saved. Amen? So I feel that is something that I will be thinking about and then praying about. But I want to get to the substance of this Day of Atonement. Day of Atonement, what is the height of God's purpose? Is to deal with the sin, because sin blocks our relationship with God. So what did God do? Let's get to Romans chapter 3, because Romans is such, is there, you know, when Job, chapter 9, Job actually says of himself, saying, is there, how can a mere mortal human being be righteous before holy God? He asks this question, thinking there is no such a human being that can exist on planet Earth. Are there righteous, truly righteous human beings that exist on Earth before holy God? And the answer is, God has provided away. It's the book of Romans. There is an answer. And I want to share that with you because that is the substance of what Christ has done. You know, the Bible says the righteous are as bold as lion, but the wicked run when there is no one pursuing. Do you know, when you look up to heaven, before the creation, before the angels and demons, visible and invisible, that you can walk before God and you are called to be right with God, to be righteous before God. If we understand this, oh man, because we come and go and we don't really grasp it. This is the substance of what Christ has done. Let's read a few verses here. Chapter 3, verse 19 to 26. And I want to just really share on this. And I wanted you to, as we, you know, inspect our life as well, let's not lose the vision and the sight of what Christ has done for us. All right. There's a lot that goes on from chapter 1 to 3. It's like saying that there is not one that is righteous. Do you agree? How many are on your own righteous before the holy God? No one, right? Not good enough. There's not even one, not even the one that seeks God. Very clearly. Were you seeking God? Maybe by the grace of God you're joined. The fact that you're here, on our own, left on our own, no human being will even seek God or fear God, left on our own. It's the grace of God that we have hunger for God. And whether you're here because of one reason or another, the fact that you're here means that there is a grace of God on your life. Grace of God that makes you to come to hear God's solution for our problem is our wickedness, it's our sin. God has provided a solution. Amen? All right, let's read. So verse 19, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, verse 19, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God, accountable before God, NASV. We are, the whole world is shut in so that under the righteous judgment of God, so when the time comes that God judges the world, God will be proven right. No one can say, God, you're wrong. In fact, David says in one of his psalms, after he committed adultery and murder, he says, God, against you alone I sinned. You know the terrible thing about the sin? How can David say he killed Uriah's wife, Uriah, and then took his wife? He sinned against men. How can David say, against you alone, you only, before your eyes, before your face, I sinned. How can he say that? Well, ultimately, all our sin, the most horrible thing about our sin is not how it affects others. Yes, it does. But really, it's about how we affect God. How our sin affect God. And David says, when you judge, you're right. I'm silent. I'm guilty. And the truth is that when God judges, and he will, no flesh can say, God, it's not right. No one can say that. And the true repentance is not about being sorry about myself. It's about, God, I sinned against you. I affected you. That's repentance. And there isn't a lot of that. 10 days of awe, repentance, is actually getting the revelation of how our sin affect our God and come in cleanness and change, okay? It only works by the grace of God because we can't, a lot of false humility doesn't work. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for the law, by the law is the knowledge of sin. We all know that. I'm not going to dwell on this. By you trying, you will never be good enough. True? We will never be good enough. In fact, the harder you try, the faster you get worse. Is that true? The moment you say, I'm going to fast, oh man, within 2 hours you get hungry. Is that true? Say, I'm busy, I'm working, you know, whole day I didn't eat, I'm not hungry. As soon as I say, I'm going to fast and seek God, like, you know, half an hour, oops. Oh, you know, you open the fridge and look at it. This is the flesh. It's aroused by the law. And no one, you cannot try hard enough to be good enough. It will never work. All have sinned. There is no answer. And then here is what God is saying. But now, verse 21, the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. God's answer is giving His own righteousness apart from us trying to be good enough by setting rules and regulations, a law. And that is even in line with the law of God. It's not something new. It's how God's people always became right with God, is by faith. Okay, I'm going to just read through to 31 and let's think about what it means. Even the righteousness of God, God's own righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ to all, on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We can read together, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. There's a lot packed in there. A lot packed in there. Very clearly, no one is righteous. What is sin? He says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What is sin? Sin means missing the mark. God has created us for His glory. That's the only purpose. God created us for His glory, for His pleasure. When we miss that, that's sin. It's like an arrow. We've been created trying to hit the mark, but we just fell short. Boom! Hit nothing. We created for God's glory, and then we begin to live below, living for God's glory. Somebody said, anyone who doesn't live for God's glory really has no purpose, no right actually to exist. Whole universe is created for God's. And then when we don't live for God's glory, guess what? You are abusing yourself. It's sin. And because of that, what is the result? Frustration. Something's wrong with my life. Because you've been created for God's glory. When we don't live for God's glory, it's a frustration. It's like you're created to be a Mercedes, but you're using it as a, you know, cart-moving truck. Frustration. Frustration. But there is an answer. God has justified us so that we can live for God's glory. Amen? What does the word justified mean? It means a lot of things, all right? God's solution is that God does all for us. And what is it? It's provide different kind of righteousness. It's God's own righteousness. God is always right. He's holy, right? On our own, we can't. We cannot deal with our sin. The whole world will come into judgment. Will come into judgment. But He's saying, I have a way. I want to give you a different option, God is saying. I'm going to give you My righteousness, My justice as a gift to you. And you can receive it by faith. And then you can be right with God. And don't try to make yourself right. That is very, very difficult concept for religious mind and normal mind, because we want to assert, I am good. I want to try hard enough. I want to be good enough. Christianity is the only teaching that says, no, no, no. You're all not good enough. God did it all. There is no boasting. It's the only way to receive or to be right with God, and that is to receive God's righteousness as a gift, not work for it. No one can work for it. Either you receive it as a gift from God or you don't receive it. Amen? Which means when you go to heaven, there will be a lot of people with a lot of fault, a lot of faulty personality and character. You will find thieves, you will find adulterers, you will find murderers, you will find all kinds of people. But you will not find anyone who is proud of their own righteousness. You will not find. Impossible. Because they have come to an end of themselves and receive God's gift by grace. What does justify mean? It means you are in the court, and in the heavenly court, there is a verdict. Bang, bang, bang. Not guilty. I don't know. You don't have to put your hand up. How many, if you've been to a court case for yourself, how stressful it is. If it is, I mean, if a business court case, right? Even if you've done nothing wrong, as soon as court case is on, it puts so much pressure on you. It's a serious matter. If you are tried as a criminal for a sentence of death, there's a court case on you, and you know you're guilty. All the evidence is against you. How would you feel? This is humanity. It's coming. Verdict is coming. It really is before Holy God. It truly is. But Jesus did it in such a way in the court of heaven, and already gone, bang, 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 hammer, three times. And the judge says, not guilty. It's done. What happened? In the court, you go, praise God. Is that what they do? You watch any movie, any drama, what happened? Declared not guilty, they go, wow, the whole family, they run and they jump, they cry, don't they? This is what happened to you and me. God says, not guilty. And there is, you know, in an earthly court, when miscarriage of justice comes, they take it to the higher court, right? Okay, not guilty, that's all right, I got money. I'll take you to a higher court, appeal to the higher court, and a higher court. This is the court in heaven. There is nothing higher. Done. Declared not guilty. Turn to Isaiah 64, verse 6. Isaiah 64. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. It says, what is a filthy rag? Now, here, I hear that in Hebrew, it's actually menstrual cloth. It's something can be very offensive. And he's saying, it's not saying that our sins are filthy rag. It's saying our righteousness is filthy rag. It's very offensive to God. I am good. I'm good enough. You know, the most common thing I hear is that, oh yeah, I don't have to, you know, go to church and serve, you know, because I'm better than all these people. Going to church, you know, these people all go and do all this stuff. I'm better than them, so why do I need to go? It may be true, because in church there can be a lot of hypocrites, but being better than other Christians is not going to be good enough. You have to have the righteousness of God for salvation. Amen? And he says, Isaiah 61, verse 10. Isaiah 61, verse 10. This is, say, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness. as bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, so also, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. What is he saying? I will greatly rejoice. Did you hear the verdict? God the Father said, not guilty. It means that devil can look at you and every shape and form, he says, the salvation is undergarment. You got white t-shirt. Just the kidding. Undergarment of salvation, but on top of it, there's a robe. Beautiful robe with jewelries ready for the day of wedding. God has wrapped you around with his righteousness. So the devil can look at you, look at your past at every juncture, at every shape and direction, and he can find nothing wrong with you to accuse before God. Isn't that amazing? This is what Jesus has done. This is what God has done. It means that verdict is not guilty, but it also means God has reckoned you as righteous. God has declared you as righteous before heaven and earth. So devil can come and accuse you, but God says, not guilty, I declare it. Not guilty, I reckon he's righteous. It means more than that. It also means not only declared righteous, God is putting his righteous robe on filthy us. He's saying, made righteous. Because God declares it, something happens inside of our spirit. So, you know what? What you're going to be and I'm going to be is not ultimately what I decide. What is the greatest thing that changes our destiny is what God says of you and me. God says, let there be light. There is light. And God says, you're righteous. When you say, yes, amen, I am. Thank God that righteousness is imputed and is imparted into your spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. And he works it out. Work out what God worked in. Perfect righteousness. This is amazing. How can a mere man be right before God? You can. This is God's greatest gift. This is what the Day of Atonement couldn't achieve. Jesus achieved it all. And it means more than that. It means, you know what? It means also justice. You know, being justified means just as if I have never sinned before. Can you put your mind into, I think it was Billy Graham and said, you know, most of the people, I mean, if humanity can find solution for our sin and guilty conscience, imagine the, you know, the mental sickness, the hospital beds, emotional pain, psychological sickness. It would be so many of them would be set free. God wants us to walk out. When you walk out, you look up to heaven. God wants us to have no shame. Look straight up to heaven and say, Heavenly Father, me and you, I'm right before you. My life is right before you. I am just as if I have never sinned before. And then if you don't get excited about it, it means you don't believe it, right? I mean, you give me one movie clip where guilty has been saying not guilty and go, thanks a lot. I'll take that. Okay, I won't die. I won't get executed. I'll take that. They jump with tears and cry. And God has done all this for us. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? So when you repent, it's not, oh, God, don't hit me with a bat on my head. It's very different. I want to work out this righteousness that you've given to me. I want every shadow cast out from me. I want to walk a life that is worthy of this gospel in the name of Jesus. Amen? And he says freely, he says, grace cannot be earned. This is the thing. You know why Israel, being given so much, why Israel missed it when Jesus came? Why it missed it? Bible actually talks about it in Romans. Why did they miss it? It's because they're trying to establish their own righteousness. They missed it. precisely. God is saying, no, no, you can't earn it. You can only receive it for free by grace. You try to pay for it, you can't have it. But Israel is trying to keep trying to get, no, 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 I'll buy it with my 2 cents. Righteousness of God. I'm trying to buy it. God says, no, no, you got to take it by faith. So, no, no, I can't. Missed it. Are we doing that? Can't buy it. It's grace. Grace is when we come to an end of ourselves and when we say, God, you know what? I am guilty. There is no way I can save myself in my own efforts and goodness. I will not make it. I know it. I accept it. But you know what? I'm going to receive your offer of grace for free. I'm going to take it for free. We love, Asians love free stuff. But it's too much. Even for Asians, it's too much. It's not everybody's Asian. But Asian, I mean, you know, I love free stuff, right? If it is free, I'm going to drive like 20 minutes and take it. And then the petrol price even more, but still it's free. If it is free, it's good. But God's greatest gift, you cannot buy it. You can only get it for free. What does that do to our human ego and pride? Decimate it. That's why in heaven, you will not find anyone proud. Because that is a sin that God deviled down. No one will be proud. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to share with you this word, propitiation. Let's say propitiation. It's a hard word. When did you use that word last time? Have you ever? Say it again. Propitiation. Man. Okay. In other words, it's expiation. That's what it means. It's expiation. When did you use that word? What does that mean? It's, you know, it's appeasing. It's dealing with appeasing the wrath of God due to us because of our sin. And you know what? This is a really interesting word. It's an exact same translated Hebrew word into the Greek text, word meaning mercy seat. Incredible. Mercy seat. You know what mercy seat? Ark of Covenant. This is where everything comes in, all right? Once a year, what? High priest, take the blood of the bull, offer it for his own sin first, and takes 2 goats, and then cast lot. One is for the Lord, and one is for the sins of the people. Offer the one up for the Lord, and then they cleanse the sanctuary, cleanse the altar. And then he take that blood, go before the Ark of the Covenant, mercy seat, once a year, only once a year. You go in, without the blood, you're dead. That's why high priests have bells, right? And then they are tied, one leg is tied with a line, rope. You go in there, you offer it, you take the blood, sprinkle before the mercy seat 7 times. And that's how you cover over the sins of God's people for another year. But if the high priest, for example, the first bull offering sacrifice was not effective, maybe his sin was too strong, bull was maybe a little bit sinful, but it didn't work, it didn't really cover over what happened. Boom. You will hear the big thud, and you will not hear the tingling bell sound anymore. The priest failed his mission to atone for your sin. So what do? You just pull out the robe. Next, who wants to be the high priest? That's why you have a whole clan of high priests. One dies, next one. Every year they change, because you can't really be holy all the time, right? And the blood of the bull may not be effective enough, because it never really is. Never really is. So that's what they do. This is a mercy seat. You know, mercy seat is on top of the what you call Ark of Covenant. And inside is the law of God that they have broken. And the mercy seat is exactly the same dimension as the Ark of Covenant. And mercy seat represents what? The throne of God. And God says, when that Ark of Covenant is covered over with the mercy seat, God says, you can approach me once a year. I will sit on the throne and I'll speak with you, meet with you at the point of my mercy, not on my justice, not the just requirement, demand of the law. Because if you do, we'll never make it. And that ark is covered over with the mercy seat, and the high priest can come before God with all the sin trembling. And he also had to be covered with incense, otherwise that's a prayer and worship. Come in, and then God says, look, I can see through your sin, but I'm going to meet you at the point of my mercy. In the New Testament, God says, the throne of grace. For all our needs, we can approach the throne of grace. Why? Because it's the mercy seat. On the throne of God, Revelation 4, what is it? Rainbow of God's mercy is around the throne. It says, I'm going to be merciful, even though I can be righteous. There is a day for righteousness, but it's a time of mercy. And in Jesus Christ has, that Jesus Christ took his own blood and sprinkled, so to speak, on that mercy seat 7 times. How many times was Jesus' blood shed on the cross? How many times? 7 times. Can't go into that. Jesus fulfilled exactly what the Day of Atonement's foreshadowing will happen has exactly happened. Jesus fulfilled it all. Hallelujah. And this is the thing. What he says is that blood of the bulls and the animals are not a fair exchange for our sin, for our soul. It's true. Somebody killed your dog and then say, I'm sorry, all right, I'm going to make restitution. Here is my mouse. Will you take it? No. Sin in our soul is in our blood. You know, probably can't go into much of it, but so the blood, without the blood, there is no remission of sins. Why? Because it's our soul is in the blood. And the sin is in our DNA, our soul. It's get passed down. And it can never, animal blood cannot deal with your sin. It's not fair exchange. If this is the problem with God, right? Saying, God is merciful, and God says, why can't you just forgive me? You're merciful. You created everything. Would you, somebody hit your son with a car and ran away? But thank God for the modern technology of cameras, speed cameras, and all these cameras. He got caught, brought to justice, and this judge, he's saying, I'm such a good guy. You know what? I don't want you to die. Already your life is lost. So I declare you not guilty, go free. How would you feel? You're such a good judge. No. What would you do if your son is killed? Injustice. How can you be right doing that? Right restitution has to be made. And this is God's problem. God's problem is not how can God condemn and, you know, there's innocent people to hell. God never has that problem. God's problem is how can I make wicked sinners to heaven, make them righteous, and still remain right? That is God's problem. And God found an answer. Jesus, he was punished. More than right restitution, blood of Jesus Christ. God overpaid for your salvation. Did you know that? Way overpaid. Why? Because of his love. That's how much he values you. Overpaid. It's not righteousness. It's not justice. God paid for you with his own blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is what it is. Every year, blood of the goats and animals. What do? They don't deal with the sin. They just cover over for another year. You got a very, very, some places they have a very nice wood table, right? With the grains, very expensive. Sometimes I go to beautiful table, you know, from the trunk, one whole piece. You can see all the grain in there, and expensive. And little Johnny made a mistake and tipped over an ink. It flowed. Ah, you run and grab a thing and you wipe. What happened? You can't get it out. Ink has gone into the grain. You can't take it out. You don't want to throw this out because it's so expensive. So what do? You put a cloth, white cloth over it and say, you know what? I'm going to still use it. I'm going to still hold on to it because it's so expensive. But every time you look at the cloth and use it, what do you think about? This thing's ruined. I can never have it back. That's what was happening. God says the sins of all the previous generations every year has been covered over. And then next year, you cover it again. And you pile up some more. And then you have a stronger bull, stronger animal. cover over again. What is it happening? Thousands of years, the sin is screaming out to be dealt with. When Jesus shed his blood, it's like that cleansing agent, heavenly agent that attacks every grain of the wood, gets under it, gets rid of the ink once for all, completely gets rid of it as if it's nothing of that nature has ever happened. All of that sin had been put away, not only covered over, but dealt with, put away, disposed of, hallelujah, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's where we stand. You know, at one point, all the sins of humanity have been placed on Jesus as Jesus was suffering on the cross. And the 3 hours, the whole world became darkened. And Bible says, Jesus who knew no sin became sin for us so that we can be the righteousness of God. Came over him, and all of that sin Jesus absorbed like a sponge. All that ink, Jesus took it all. And if anybody could make sin acceptable to God, it would have been Jesus. But not so. That's when Jesus says, Father, why did you forsake me? His heart was broken. He died of a broken heart. Why did you forsake me? Hallelujah. And how does this transfer work in my heart? It's by grace and through faith, without trying to make ourselves acceptable by doing stuff. How do we get saved? How do we have the righteousness with God? How do you live right, be right before God? Stop trying. You'll never be good enough. But believe. Believe what God has done on the cross for you. That's the only answer. There is a power of the gospel. Righteousness of God. Just as the sin, your sin and my sin, had been transferred to Jesus, when we believe that Jesus had done it for you, God's righteousness is transferred from God to you in your spirit. And you become right. Something happens. You get born again. And then God says, righteous will live by faith. Even David, who sinned, he was made right because he believed, not because he was good enough. Even Abraham, your father, became right with God, not because he was good. He failed. But he believed God when God said, believe me when I say what I say. I'm going to bless you. I'll be with you. I'll make you right. I'm going to give you son, even though, you know, the circumstances are against you. Abraham believed God. What you say, what you do for me, I believe. And that made him right with God. And God says, now, you look back. I sent my son. I've done everything. You believe what I've done for you. you'll be right with me. You receive this gift as a righteousness. And from now on, between heaven and earth, between you and me, there's nothing standing between you and me. You're righteous. You're just as if you have never sinned before. Believe. And then real change take place by faith. Where is boasting? No boasting. Just shall live by faith. Amen. That is the start of our spiritual journey, is to believe what God has done for us in Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Shall we pray? Shall we stand? Get the musicians up. Do you believe? Do you believe?
Yes.
What Jesus has done for you and me. And only because of what Jesus has done, we are right with God. No matter what you've done, it doesn't matter. Whether you're religious, non-religious, makes no difference. It's what God has done. Do you believe? Is this where you're standing on? Do you stand on what God has done for you? Where God says, if your life stands on that, hallelujah, based on that, hallelujah, all the heaven's grace flow. And just shall live by faith. Not only you get saved, it's only a start of the walk. From here, every part of our life, we continue to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen?
Amen.
All the promises of God are yes and amen. Amen. We move on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, how do you release your faith? By confession. Do you believe that God wants to justify us? God wants to make human being righteous. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe, let's confess this from the heart, if you really confess this from the heart. I believe Jesus Christ is Son of God. God's ultimate answer for our sin. God's antidote for my failure. I believe Jesus Christ came to earth, suffered and died for my sins, buried, but rose from the dead on the third day, according to the scripture. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe the blood is powerful and effective. I apply that blood by faith. I receive Jesus' blood into my heart. Cleanse my heart. Cleanse my conscience. Cleanse my sins. Put it all away, Lord. Give me a clean heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving all my sins. I stand on your righteousness. I receive by faith your gift of righteousness. I'm right with you. Thank you for forgiving me, making me right. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing.
My chains are gone.